Well, we reflect more on today's gospel in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When we hear of the words of today's reading, it's kind of hard to believe that anyone followed Jesus, I think. We're in the middle of a section of Matthew where we hear Jesus saying some pretty severe things. There's always a hopeful, graceful side to what he says, but the reality that Jesus describes and the directives he gives, I think, are very hard to hear. And so it helps us to put this in the context of other things. One is the thing that this is one of four Gospels of Jesus. And that's good because it gives us a more complex picture about Jesus. Each Gospel has its own objective, its own way to describe Jesus in the way that gets that Gospel's point across. Some Gospels aim to be more friendly, while others are concerned about the weakening and the laxity of the faithful during hard times, like Matthew is. So this reminds us that when we hear these severe words of Matthew, there is a John or there is a Luke that shows another side of Jesus and the full meaning of the gospel that shows more of the loving words of Jesus. And context usually makes a difference in how a gospel is written also. Matthew is known as writing to a group of Christians who were in community. Some think that they were close to being losing the track of the teachings of Jesus and were weakening in the faith. And in those years, it was very hard to be a Christian. Between the Jewish authorities and the Roman authorities, it was very difficult. We know that before the Apostle Paul was converted, he had the authority to go around and as a Jew and have Christians put in jail. We know that very early it was so tough to be a Christian in what the world would call now the Holy Land that the major center of Christianity became Antioch in Syria. The converted Paul and other major figures did most of their ministry based out of Antioch, not Jerusalem. So we have to remember that Matthew is telling us the words of Jesus in a time that was contentious. It was a hard time. It would have been a time when it would have been easy not to press the Christian message, but to fall back on the worldview of traditional values, the status quo of the popular religion of the day, the status quo of the Roman government, and the status quo of normal economics. The view of Jesus is an alternative view, and it takes courage and faith to live by it. Christianity has always brought a point of view to the world that's alternative and has nearly always gotten pushback. Early on, there was the great persecution of the church, and it was often a life or death decision whether you would be a follower of Jesus. And it became a life-changing decision, perhaps meaning that you needed to move if you decided you were going to follow Jesus. You could no longer stay where you lived. And it's still like that in some parts of the world, but it was like that back then in early Christianity especially. Then there was a long period, of course, when the Christian church became so intertwined with the powers of the world that there wasn't so much persecution, but the Christian message was compromised also. And then we come to a time when we hear these days of physical persecution of Christians in Egypt, and currently some in our congregation are personally acquainted with some who were working with Christian causes in India who have been refused entry into India because of that work with Christian causes. And our own country has changed its religious character over the past 75 years, I would say, and people adopt a religious group. When people adopt a religious group now these days, being Christian isn't necessarily well received in all circles in our country. All this reminds us of how the words of Matthew are not easy to hear, but how they are always necessary. All of the Gospels are like this, but Matthew is especially strong at encouraging the followers of Jesus to live by another standard than the standard that the world offers, to remind the world that the human systems without the word of the gospel are always self-serving and they fall short. For one thing, Matthew reminds us that Jesus wants to tell the world the truth about himself, and he wants us to tell that truth. The world needs to be reminded that the world isn't the most powerful force. There is a higher power. The world needs to be told that the accumulation of wealth and power is not the way that's best for the future of the world. The world needs to be told that human beings are not expendable, but human beings are created and loved by God. They are not, human beings are not to be exploited or taken advantage of or to have their needs ignored, but they are people created by God. They are the crown of creation, not pawns to be part of a strategy to accumulate wealth and power. But we know, as did the very early Christians, that telling such truth to the world isn't easy. We can just imagine what the feelings and body language were of those people who heard Jesus say these words that first time. They must have been astounded. Did they walk away maybe as quickly as they could as they heard the demands of Jesus? Did they receive these words of Jesus with big question marks in their heads, but kept listening anyway? To have heard the words of Jesus that the way of the world around them was not right was likely something they understood all too well as subjects of the government. But it would require great courage and faith to live by the values Jesus taught and to be willing to share the message of the way of Jesus. It's always hard to tell the truth, especially when it's truth to power, truth to status quo, or truth to someone with whom we disagree. What Jesus is calling his followers to do is to speak the truth, even when it's not easy to do so. It is to tell the governments and social structures of the world that they are not the most important thing. It is to tell those who abuse or take advantage of or discriminate against other human beings that that's not the way to be. And such truth-telling is not easy to do. It requires courage, for one thing, but also it requires one to think about the most effective way to get across a different point of view. Just shouting out, "You're doing it wrong," is not always so effective, and maybe, in fact, will incur more resistance. And so while we don't want to give up on what we believe, to tell the truth about things in the light of the gospel, whether it is to call things to account or to offer a word of grace, normally takes some sensitivity and strategy so that the message can be heard. When we're speaking with an individual or with a small group or even to a powerful organization, the situation often shapes the conversation. Often there are ways other than just telling people off that are more effective. If the party knows that we're concerned about their good and the good of the world in the end, and we're concerned about the good of the sake of all, and if we're interested in why they take the approach they do and why they have the thoughts they do, our conversation may build a relationship and in the end do better at bringing about change if we do this together rather than just saying, "You're wrong, I'm right." I've begun to see that the challenge that Jesus puts before us is a challenge to help people think and live outside the box. We normally kind of live inside the box. We think that doing certain things, living certain ways, will bring a kind of longevity and success to us. But often the thought behind this kind of thinking is, what's in it for me? That's kind of what motivates us as human beings. What's in it for me? And so that's kind of thinking in the box. If I can just get out of this, what's in it for me, I'll do fine. But Jesus reminds us that there's a better way, not the natural human way. It's a way of sharing. It's a way of love. It's a way of building community and closeness based on a quality of love that comes from him. And this is the kind of thinking, I would say, that's outside the box. It's not our normal human way to go at things. It's not saying, what's in this for me, but what's in this for the sake of that person, or what's in this for the sake of the world? We can begin to look at the encounters we have, the plans we make, the things we choose to do by thinking, how is it that the love of Jesus, his love of people, and love, the love of creation are served by my direction and by my action? How is this idea, how are the teachings of Jesus served by what I'm doing? That's thinking outside the box. This isn't always a demand for a radical action to be taken. It can be a kind of filter of how we approach things as people of God. How can we be thinking outside the box, that is, with the box of Jesus, by encountering things in the life with that question of how is this a way to love like Jesus loved? How is this a way to help human beings and to help the creation? How can I facilitate the love of God in both small and ordinary things as well as in the major things I do each day? Well, this isn't always so easy. As Jesus found out, they didn't receive his version of truth very well as he upheld it, and it was costly for him, cost him his life. Speaking the truth in love can be challenging, and it may be resisted. Jesus knew this would happen for him, and he knew his followers could expect resistance also for living in a way of care and compassion and fairness rather than in a way of indifference and hate and disregard of others. The status quo often doesn't receive suggestions for change very well. So Jesus reminds us of the hope and the promise that comes with living this out-of-the-box way based on the love that he's brought to the world. He says those who seek their own lives will lose it, but those who seek their lives for his sake will gain it. It can be very costly to put away some things and live by a different value than what the bottom line is. It can take courage. It may hurt our gains by loving or by speaking up for someone not in the regular power structure. But Jesus promises that what we may lose by living outside the box of worldly values will result in knowing that our life is well lived, and that knowing that we have a peace and contentment that cannot be gotten anywhere else, we have that life with God and with Jesus. Jesus reminds us of the sparrows or even the hairs on our head. They are both plentiful, neither demand a high price. Yet God knows each hair and each sparrow, and so his care for us human beings is much, much more. God values us, so we are free to value what God values in terms of love, and care, and forgiveness, and well-being. We know we have God's support as we live in God's way. It was costly for Jesus, but he received new life. The same promise is for us, that as we do what the love of Jesus requires, new life is ours also. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.